Greetings, friends. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program with Dr. Bob Teal, bringing you news and analysis of world events in light of Bible prophecy. Dr. Teal, there are many different points of view concerning judging. There's the written law or legal view of judging. There's the philosophical view of judging, for example, the socialist view, the communist view, etc. But what should the Christian view be of judging?
Well, somebody sent me a link to an article at Harbinger Daily this week, and basically says that people mishandle this part of the Bible that says, judge not. And they talked about a homosexual couple was on a so-called Christian program. The so-called Christian host said, they're not supposed, the Bible says not to judge. But the reality is, of course, the Bible says a bit more about that. You know, with Matthew 7, says, judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. And it says, you know, why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, not the log that's in your own eye? And so basically, the Bible says, yeah, when you judge, you got to be careful and use the right standard, because the same standard is going to apply to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unfortunately, once people abandon the truth and authority of God's word, no compromise follows. And that's exactly what we see in these so-called compromising Christians.
You know, that's a good point, too, Dr. Teal. There seems to be many compromising Christians.
Yeah, well, that's the article called them that. You know, Jesus also said in John 7:24, don't judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So, yeah, Christians are supposed to make righteous judgments.
Well, just how are Christians supposed to go about judging righteously?
Well, Psalm 119, verse 172 says, all your commandments are righteousness. Now, as far as God's commands concerning marriage and homosexuality, in Mark 10:5-8, Jesus said, God made him male, female from the beginning, two should become one flesh. And in the book of Leviticus, by the way, 18 verse 22, it says you shouldn't lie with a male as with a woman. It's an abomination. So Jesus taught, you know, marriage is between a man and a woman, and the Bible says for men to have sex together, it's an abomination. And those who try to claim the Bible doesn't clearly condemn such things, they're intentionally misleading what it teaches. Also, in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 1, and a lot of people don't like this quoted, it says that we're not even supposed to approve of such things. Verse 24 says, God gave people up to uncleanliness, to lust of their heart, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Verse 26, they have these vile passions to do what's against nature. Women against doing what women are supposed to do, men against men. And Bible says that not only those who practice such are deserving of death, but also those who approve it. So we're not supposed to participate or condone sexual immorality. Now, contrary to another view out there, right, let me mention that in 1 Corinthians 6, the Apostle Paul clearly teaches that the sexually immoral can change. It says, don't you know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, covetous, revilers, etc., will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you're washed, sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of the Lord our God.
Those verses seem to be clearly telling us that in order to inherit the kingdom of God, thieves need to change, murderers need to change, extortioners need to change, and homosexuals also need to change.
Well, yes, the true Christian should be able to see these errors and judge on those kind of matters. Okay. In Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 1, Paul mentioned that there was sexual immorality in Corinth and that people were puffed up. And he said that wasn't there, but he was even judged when he wasn't even there. As far as what standards of judging a Christian should have, well, they ought to come from the Bible. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Christians are in a position to judge many aspects of sin and immorality. And in 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 2, it says, "Don't you know that saints will judge the world?" Now, saints, you're talking about Christians. And it's the world to be judged by you. Are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Don't you know that we're going to judge angels? How much more do things pertain to this life? Now, it's not just, by the way, various Protestants who overlooked scriptures related to homosexuality and judgment. The Associated Press reported something about the late Pope Francis, that during his first airborne press conference as Pope, he was asked about a gay priest, and he said, "Who am I to judge?"
Didn't those words of Pope Francis directly contradict the scriptures you just quoted?
Yes. Now, the old Worldwide Church of God put some stuff out about judging. They start off with, "Judge not that you be not judged." And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus also said, "You'll know them by their fruits." But we are judging by the fruits is something we should be able to judge and to understand. When Jesus said, "Judge not that you be not judged," the term obviously referred to judgment in the sense of condemnation or the pronouncement of guilt. It's plain in the verses that follow that no one's really capable of such judgment because all are blinded by their own shortcomings. Regardless of the accomplishments in this life, no one is prerogative to sit in, or I'm going to say, full spiritual judgment of others. Jesus himself said, "For God did not send his son to the world to condemn the world, but that through him it may be saved," in John 3:17. And the word "condemn" is derived from the same word that we see in Matthew 7:1. Anyway, there's no reasons why we shouldn't judge, sit in judgment or condemnation, actually, of others. One of the important reasons expounded by Paul in Romans 2 says, "Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whosoever you are that judges. For you knew that judge is the same things." The term "judge" in this case talks about condemnation. And it's the same Greek word used in Matthew 7, verse 1.
So is the critical issue not so much a matter of judgment, but rather inappropriate condemnation? In other words, as Christians, we should use righteous judgment about the actions of others, but we should be careful about condemning the one committing the acts.
Certainly, that's part of it. Now, getting back to the Worldwide Church of God, then we throw to 2 Peter 3, verse 9, and the article said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." Then it says, it's a natural reaction to lunge quickly to accusation. We see the wrongdoing of others, all the while by being blind into our own shortcomings. And we point the finger and we fail to remember that God is aware of all and has chosen not to intervene at the moment. He's literally giving us space to repent. And then they said, when addressing the Thyatiran church in Revelation 2, verse 21, God spoke to the woman Jezebel and mentioned her sins and pollutions and said, "I will give her space to repent of her fornication," and she repented not. The point's obvious. God gives all space to repent. God's not willing that any should perish, so it's not all right to condemn a brother, even though he might be invading the space to repent God's given them. Many reasons could be cited for not condemning another, but by the same token, Christians have the obligation to use their minds wisely to develop their judgment to the point of discernment. It's not our right to condemn a brother, but those so doing may be invading the space God's given to repent. In Romans 12, starting verse 1, Paul wrote, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God." This, of course, requires study and contemplation of the Bible as well as the world around us. And the article continues by quoting 1 Corinthians 2:14-16, "But the natural mind receives not the things of God, They're foolishness to them. Neither can they be known to him because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The Spirit of God is intended to increase and sharpen our ability to discern and make judgments. So this contrast between judgment and condemnation is something we ought to be able to do. But the article says, well, this is not an easy challenge. The challenge us as Christians is not easy. During times of crisis, we have to resist the natural inclination to point the finger and imagine the worst. At the same time, we must use discernment, which is found upon the Word of God. To achieve this seemingly impossible balance, one must exercise unswerving faith and confidence in God to accomplish that he'll accomplish all he says he will. In one of the last messages to the church at large, Peter in 1 Peter 4:17 said, "For the time has come that judgment must first begin at the house of God, who begins first with us. What shall be the end of those who obey not the gospel of God?" It's true that God is the judge of all of us, but we within the house of God must exercise discernment to keep our individual lives close to him, as well as, by the way, I'll interject, who should be part of the church. Anyway, to discern right from wrong, to give space to repent, to show love, to have faith that God is fully aware of and working with each individual to do these things represents one of the toughest challenges for Christians of all time. And that was in the old Good Neighbors magazine in 1979. Well, anyway, Christians can and should judge based on what? Based on what the Word of God teaches. A major flaw in this world's version of Christianity has long been to overlook many parts of Scripture and forget them when things seem too difficult for them. Now, perhaps I should also mention that this is going to sound kind of the opposite of what we've been talking about so far, is that most true end-time Christians, according to the Bible, will be Laodicean, and that's our age now. Now, the word Laodicea is actually derived from two Greek words. What does that mean? Those two Greek words mean judgment of the people judge, or the people are judgmental. Now, the problem with the Laodiceans isn't that they don't judge at all, but they have two issues. One, they don't judge themselves. And then you can read that in Revelation 3, verses 14 through 22, where Jesus condemns them for that. But secondly, they do not judge that they should be part of the true Philadelphian remnant of the Church of God. So that's another flaw that they have. So again, as the old worldwide Church of God told people, the balance between proper discernment and judgment is one of the toughest challenges that Christians face. And sadly, based on Jesus' words in Revelation, most end-time Christians don't really seem to have that. Anyway, what should we do? We're not to overlook God's criteria. There are some things that are clearly sin. We condemn the sin. We denounce the sin. We don't condemn the sinner. We believe God will give them the opportunity to repent. And as the Word of God says, as Jesus said, is it the Word of God himself, in John 7:24, we need to remember to what? Judge with righteous judgment. And that's what all Christians should be doing at this time.
Thank you, Dr. Thiel. For more interviews with Dr. Thiel, in addition to written as well as audio articles, visit our website at BibleNewsProphecy.net. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program.